Need a new dependable set of tires for your summer road trip?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Come give Independent Tire Dealers, your hometown tire team, a visit. With more than 50 locations on both sides of the river, there is an Independent Tire Dealer near you. With over 20 recognizable brands to choose from, featuring the top-of-the-line Kumho tires, there is a tire to fit your needs.
Tim, you're exactly right.
Every Independent Tire Dealer location is locally owned and operated. Visit ITDroll.com or call 877-ITD-ROLL and find the location near you. ITD, someone you can trust.
Now, back to Jay and Joe on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
This one's going to make the cut to the next show.
This is another song that can be played on that piano.
Really could. Really could. Mm-hmm. New show starts next Thursday. The Triple Threat. Myself, Howard Balzer, Brian Stahl, Brian Hoffman will be producing said program. Looking forward to that starting next Thursday at 2 o'clock, 2 to 4 on 590. The Fan is when that will when that'll be. So we are looking forward to that. And then on Friday, I won't be here.
You are scheduled to be here on Friday. And if you're not,
off.
Readily assume that Joe threw a fit and ran off.
We'll be off in the Northwest Indiana area.
Reminding yourself that your childhood is dead and you're now you're just
really
an adult.
Is. Really is. Everything that I grew up enjoying, going to, doing with my life, gone. Everything.
The ice cream shop. What was the other one? Was it a miniature golf course?
Bakery, a mini golf course, the pizza place, everything
all
gone.
All gone, Joe.
My school?
Out with
my
the
school,
old,
where I went to grade school.
New.
Where I attended school from kindergarten to sixth grade, gone. Not there anymore. Does not exist. And I'm expected to go back up there and try to find pieces of my childhood. Hey, breaking news, developing news out of the Cardinal Clubhouse. Adam Wainwright has shaved his face. Kind of expected that after his last start, not this. Glad he finally did it. Got to change something up. That's what he did. Mark Saxon saying Adam Wainwright took some grief in the clubhouse for shaving his beard. Maybe, ooh, is he just a beard? Maybe he just kept the mustache. Think he kept the mustache?
Is there a photo? I feel like there should be a photo.
It really should. Really should. Somebody has to get a picture of that and post it. So another bad start for Wainwright last night. I
wasn't exactly helped, but it was not very good still.
I get that there were the errors. Only two of those runs were earned. I get it. I do. But it's another outing for Adam Wainwright where he got lit up. Where he gave up seven runs.
Two earned.
Yeah. There are pictures of him. Alex Petrangelo was hanging out with Adam Wainwright today.
I think Petro was doing the draft.
Yeah. So, you know, I get that Adam Wainwright, that a lot of the runs scored were unearned. I understand that. But still, you know, what was it, the double to Diaz, home run to Diaz, the double to Loney last night, like those were on him, you know. Those were hits that Adam Wainwright allowed up, guys that he didn't get out. And there was nothing that could have been done about that defensively. So that's where, you know, I think that I don't know if he needs to take a day off in between starts. I don't know if that's where you put Alex Reyes to give him an extra day off between his next start. But that's now three starts in a row. Is it bad starts in a row for Adam Wainwright?
He's winless in his last seven.
Okay.
Some of them he's pitched relatively well in, but his ERA is over seven in those seven starts. Or in six of those seven starts, is over seven.
Has he won since the shutout against Miami?
I think not. Let me double check that. I know his last win, obviously, was in July. But let's see if he has won a game since then.
Let me tell you something that
happened. That was when you thought he was going to turn it around.
Right. So you thought the whole season was going to turn around. One of the many times.
That was his last win. That was win number 9 when you thought, like, all right, this, you know, maybe this is where Wainwright finally is back and the rotation gets some sort of consistency going and maybe they can start to maybe make a little move in the National League.
Yeah.
Instead, it's been the opposite.
It was a home run by Alejandro Deaza. Doubles to Granderson, Cabrera, Flores. Also in the game. So, I mean, he got hit hard again. Man, no, 9 hits. Yeah, 5 of those runs were unearned, but 9 hits. Walk 2. It's 11 guys that he's putting on base through 5 innings.
And some of these, your self-proclaimed ace isn't really giving the team a chance to, not self-proclaimed, but the number one guy in the rotation, given the opening day start and such. He's not getting your team a chance to win. You're down 3-0 after 4, 7-0 after 5, albeit with an error last night. Another start earlier this month against the Cubs. You're down 7-0 after 2 innings. And then a start at the beginning of the month against Atlanta, you're down 6-0 after 2 innings. Like, during the slot today with Strick and Tuna, Strick said, well, you can start Reyes, but then what about, like, the 6th, 7th, and 8th innings? And right now, the 6th, 7th, and 8th innings don't matter because some of your starters are, by the time the 6th and 7th innings are here, you're down by 5 or 6 runs.
Yeah.
Give yourself a chance to win and then worry about the 6th, 7th, and 8th innings.
But tell me, and this too for the listeners, 314-880-0808 on the text line. A weird thing last night while watching that game was going on through in my head that in the 5th inning, I guess, or in the 6th inning, they're down 7-0. They were down 7-0 after 5. But I'm sitting there looking at that and going, if they show some signs of life, I have a feeling this game can go well. And sure enough, you get the 2 runs in the 6th off the Moss home run. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I think they might come back this game.
It's a byproduct, and I felt more the same way in the 8th inning where they got the bases
right
at one point. Like, oh, maybe it's a byproduct of the way this offense operates, which is they score in bunches. Last year, 2 years ago, they're down 6 or 7 runs. The game was over because it took way too much effort to score 6 or 7 runs in a game. You have to get like 10 or 11 hits in a few innings to put up that many runs. But you're touching at something though, which is that good offensive games are being wasted.
Well, I haven't even gotten into that yet with that. And in the 7th inning, by the way, that's when they had 2 on.
Oh, okay.
That's when Greg Garcia got reached on the infield hit, and then Matt Carpenter just hit a bullet. I mean, that was the one that almost took the nose off the face of the pitcher in that inning. And that's when you get Jed Jerko up with 2 on. And it's like,
take your chances.
This is a guy with 20 home runs on the year right now that could make this game quickly 7-5. And a lot of those pitchers in the bullpen at the end of the game didn't think they would have to get up and work. Now suddenly have to. And you're getting in a good position for that. So, then he strikes out, but then they come back the next inning and get the 2 runs. And again, that's, as you mentioned, they had the bases loaded. Or did they have the bases loaded then? For that, no, they had.
They did have the bases. Garcia grounded into a fielder's choice.
Okay, and then that's when you're looking at Colton Wong, which, you know, we just happened to be talking about Colton Wong yesterday, and the little that he has done so far on the year, the little opportunities he's had on the year, and he strikes out. So they had chances. They put runners on base and put themselves in position to get within an earshot of the game. Which, what was the game? Was it the Reds game? Was it 4 runs they scored in the bottom of the 9th? Or 5?
5. Much to the help of the Reds pitching staff.
Right.
But they still, I think it was a 5-run 9th inning.
I couldn't remember if they were on 3-0 or 4-0 going into that final inning before they got the win. But they're
4-0.
Yeah, they're showing that they can score those runs in bunches. And, you know, they were shut out yesterday by, what was it, Seth Lugo, which is embarrassing.
Not Julio Lugo.
No, that might have been worse. Not sure. Think that might have been a little worse. But they're, you know, they're getting it. That's the thing. Is they what the Cardinals need to do, it's, yeah, the mashing early in the game's fun. With Diaza, I was listening on the drive home. I hadn't seen the replay of it, but it sounded like Diaza robbed Carpenter of a home run in the first inning at the like dead center. But if they could put forth the same approach that they do whenever they face Jake Arrieta and getting to bullpens early in games, it really seems like that is where they thrive, is once they get into the other team's bullpen. That once they get into the bullpen, and they've done it against good bullpens too. They've hit good bullpens. They got Jared Familia blow a save. Who was the Royals closer? They got him to blow a save.
It did. I think it was the Holland. Yeah.
They got him to
Wade
blow
Davis.
A save.
Wade Davis.
Yeah, Wade Davis to blow a save. They're getting into that bullpen, and they're getting guys to blow saves. Heck, I know they still haven't scored a run off of him, but that game against the Cubs, against Chapman, they hit the ball hard off of Chapman.
Which is almost... Two aspects of the Cardinals are very bizarre. One is that you entered spring training thinking that the one constant and the one thing you could depend on was good starting pitching. Mm-hmm. That has not been the case at all this season. But offensively, and you're right, they are doing... They split in Chicago because they beat up on their bullpen in the final two games. And that's against the grain, really against baseball in general. It's become so matchup-heavy late in games that sometimes whatever team's leading in the sixth or seventh inning is probably just going to win the game in general because they could play the matchup game the rest of the way. So they're going really against basic logic right now in two different departments.
Yeah, I continue to think, and I had this thought today too, how much fun it would have been to match last year's hitting or this year's hitting with last year's pitching, which you ran the numbers for a few weeks ago before they went on this recent string of home run hitting. I'd be interested to know if you remember how to do that, if you remember where you went to do that.
I do. I mean, Joe, the Cardinals with 30-odd games left, maybe a little bit more than that, they've already outpaced their run output from last year in innings 7 through 9 by a wide margin. Last year, they scored 194 runs in the final three innings of the game. This year, and this is tops in baseball, they scored 220. So they're going to blow that out of the water.
Yeah.
I can probably do that during the break. Do the Pythagorean what your win loss record
right.
should be.
Yeah, Justin from Illinois, you may hit the ball hard, but you still have to manufacture runs. I still don't think the Cardinals have a shot if they get the Chapman.
Well, I mean, and that may be the case, but there was a time where they weren't hitting the ball at all against them.
Right.
So if you're looking for a silver lining,
yeah, beating
it's not much of one, but it is one.
And if you play the Cubs in the NLDS. The way you're going to win those games is not by facing Chapman while you're down a couple runs. That's not ideal.
Right.
What you want to do
lose that
is yes, you want to chase Arrieta in the fifth inning. You want to, you know, chase Lester in the fifth inning. You want Kyle Hendricks to remember that he's Kyle Hendricks come postseason time. I want to say John Lackey's name in there somewhere, but I really don't know what's up with his arm right now. Currently on the DL, what you want to do against the Cubs is beat up on every one of their middle relievers. You want Mike Montgomery in the game. You want Carl Edwards Jr. in the game. Those are the guys you want to face in late innings. You want Chapman to go out there and throw the top of the ninth to preserve, you know, the Cardinals being
deficit.
The deficit, the 1-2-3 run deficit at the time. That's when you want to see Chapman. That's when you go, okay, hey, we got our work in the first 8 innings. We'll take this. That's when you don't mind. Stay up to bat long enough to get Sanguano warmed up in the pen. Take enough pitches to make sure that O is ready. If you accidentally run into one, then you run into one. But I watched that last night, and yes, I was frustrated they lost another series at home. I think I saw Bernie tweet this out this morning, that they have lost more series at home this year than they lost in 2015 and 2014 combined.
Yikes. This has been...
They have lost 13 series at home this season.
This is really, really bizarre.
That's as many as they lost at Busch in 14 and 15 combined. That's nuts. And when do we get to the point where we just kind of, where we, you know, have to assume that, okay, they're going to have a losing record at home. Let's make the postseason.
Kind of at that point now. That, geez, maybe it's better if they do get a wild card, just be the second one. Travel to L.A. or San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
That's been the trend, is that's when their best baseball has been played, when they're on the road. They pitch better. They hit better. Their defense seems to be a lot cleaner on the road for someone. They've played very good defense in Chicago and in Philadelphia. Then they come here and Wainwright loses his glove and Garcia kicks a grounder. Very, very bizarre.
It is. And I'm, you know what else I'm really, you know, I'm happy. I'm fine with Matt Carpenter at first. But with Matt Adams coming back, you know, I think you kind of weigh it, okay, Matt Adams or Greg Garcia? Give the advantage to Matt Adams, right?
Yes.
Matt Adams or Tommy Pham?
Boy, that's a tough one.
Does that depend on who's on the mound?
That might depend on who's on the mound. It might depend on who's hitting the ball better.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's what you kind of look at for where the issues began with everything. You know, I think that's where you look back to see and try to figure out what the how to build that lineup in October. Are we fine with Randall Grichuk is the everyday center fielder right now?
Yes, I am. I actually am okay with that right now.
That is strange.
I don't think anyone, myself included, expected... I mean, 20 home runs was an expectation, yeah. I think, but not 20 home runs with two demotions to AAA due to lack of solid performing.
Justin from Illinois chimes back in. The Cubs' record at home is outstanding, so you have to think a five-game series is the same result you had last year. The difference is Cardinals are 5-2 at Wrigley this year. Yeah. Three-game sweep.
Yes.
Followed by splitting a four-game series. So you can take what the Cubs have done against every other butt-ass in the National League Central and the National League as a whole, but you also have to put into account that the Cardinals have not felt any of that, you know, great home field by the Cubs this year. What it's going to come down to is how Jaime or Wainwright pitch in those games. If they are the ones that pitch in game one and game two, depending on what the turnaround is for Carlos. Yeah, we had Joe Sheehan on the show yesterday, and he was talking about the bullpen game. And that's something
you brought up.
Mine wasn't the bullpen game. My theory wasn't the bullpen
game. It was kind of like it, which is just get through three innings with whoever starts and then put in runs.
Right. Mine was let Carlos pitch one time through the lineup, maybe two times through the lineup, and then hand things off to Reyes to get as many outs in a row then after that. Where I wouldn't mind seeing a Reyes start just to see how he does in the starter's role in the major leagues. Because right now, when he goes into a game in the sixth or seventh inning, you know that he's not going to get to 80, 90 pitches, right? He has to know that he doesn't have to pace himself to get through six innings. You're not asking that of him. I wonder how that mindset changes when... he actually steps out and throws a pitch in the very first inning of the game. That would be, you know, that's different, especially for a 21-year-old. That's going to be different. Right now, it's just, hey, can you get a six outs? Okay, go out there and throw the ball as hard as you want. That's something we need. We'll be looking at that.
I just realized I'm doing this math on Doug's new lemmings list.
Uh-oh.
People getting suspended.
Wait. And is he keeping track of who are lemmings now?
He's calling them thorough lemmings.
Okay.
So I purposely didn't use the suspension logule for it, which, by the way, he does not use the left ledger on. He just uses the right ledger.
So strange.
Kind of a waste of paper.
Tweet that out. You should post that.
845.40.3074. Oof. They'd be a good team. How many games did they throw again? 67, 67, 59, 126.
Ray Fossey coming up at 4:30.
Yes, Ray Fossey coming up.
I'm just waiting for you to finish doing your math.
Joe, they would have they would have a 720 win percentage.
Really?
Yeah. That's like 90 wins.
Already?
If you combined what the pitching staff had given up through 126 games last year and then what the offense has contributed, it'd be a run differential of almost 300. They scored 632 runs already this season through 126 games last year. And I'm going to double check this to make sure I had this right. I have it as them having allowed 374. Which sounds right because they didn't allow a lot of runs last year. But I'm going to double check to make sure that was accurate.
That's 720 winning percentage. Right now I'm trying to look at the
Cubs. 374. Yeah. Yeah. That's
they have a 720 winning percentage.
Yeah.
Ifs and buts for candy and nuts, huh?
I know.
We'd all have a very Merry Christmas. Cubs right now are sitting at a 643. God, how frustrating would that be for Cubs fans if they were 81-45 and the Cardinals had
90 wins? We're still like 9 games back.
Oh, that'd be funny. That'd be real funny if that happened. Ugh.
Yeah,
they'd have 6-4-6 wins. A recap of the thorough lemon.
It says here...
Plowsy's on that list?
Plowboy, yeah. Steven Wildwood... Just says 636. Okay. That's when they don't have a name attached to it. The Brawler, Iggy, the St. Peter's Thorough Lemming, and former NBA basketball player Kerry Kittles.
Kerry Kittles,
Kerry
really?
Kerry Kittles, I guess, is a thorough. He's
drafted
a net,
like
wasn't he?
8th overall by the New Jersey Nets, I think, out of where did he
was
play?
He Illinois? I think he might have
been. No. I didn't think. I thought he was like Providence or somewhere.
Oh, maybe he was.
Yeah, I thought he went to like Providence and then went to.
Villanova.
Dayton,
Ohio.
Same thing.
I'm not sure why.
Same thing.
Illinois. Both.
Thinking. I know who you're thinking of for Illinois. You're thinking of. I'm drawing a blank. Who you're thinking of? I know who you're thinking of,
Luther
but I cannot.
Head.
What?
Luther Head.
No. It was before that. The Flying Illini player. Oh, who is it? Somebody on the text line, help me out. Kendall Gill. You're thinking
of Kendall Gill.
Yes, I think that's who you're thinking
Gill.
Of. Yeah. That's who. Yeah. All right, well, it's 4:01. Yeah, we are late. We are late for a break. Better hit one of those right now. Ray Fossey coming up at 4:30, previewing Cardinals and A's here on the Afternoon Drive.